The next component is higher education and education. The legislation that governs education in the country is the Convention Act number 89 of 1998, but unfortunately, it did not give the Commission formal powers to conduct much of the inquiry, but therefore it was amended. And eventually, in 2013, the much of the inquiry provisions were expected, and the Competition Commission began its market inquiry on the MPG sector on the 15th of August 2014. In fact, it gave a notice that it was going to start an inquiry into that sector. And it was finally presented to the committee, as I said, about 2 weeks ago. Just a bit of background on the MPG sector, the structure of the sector. There are 5 LPG refineries which produce over 80% of MPG in South Africa, and they are NREF from Engen, which is based in Durban, suffered from a joint venture between Shell SA and BP, also based in Durban. Sasol, which is in Sasolburg, Chevron, which is here in Cape Town, Chevron, and Petro SA. Those are the producers. Below the producers, you have the LPG wholesalers, and that market is also very highly concentrated. Only 4 wholesalers control the market today, and 90% of the market today, and they are Aftertech Oxygen, which is the last subsidiary of the German-based Benzinger Group. The German-based company is a subsidiary of Ruby Energy, based in France, which owns 60%. Ruby's Energy owns 60% of EasyGas, and early Iberia Gas owns 40% of EasyGas, and that is followed by Orix, which is the LPG wholesaler controlled by Malta, based Addis and Orix Group, and then Total Gas, which is 100% owned by a French company, Total Offshore. In terms of distribution, so we saw the producers, the wholesalers. Now we're looking at distribution. LPG is made available to internal producers and third parties. So that means that some of the producers also make use of the LPG or other byproducts. And then it is also made available to third parties. LPG is also imported, and we import from Angola, Equatorial Guinea, Congo, Brazzaville, Nigeria, and Mozambique. There's a need for import facilities. So the import facilities here in South Africa are based in Richards Bay, Port Elizabeth, and Durban. So that's just an overview of the structure of that sector. And then the Competition Commission's findings were as follows. They found that the market conditions are, in terms of market conditions, the sector is highly concentrated and vertically integrated. Imports are very expensive due to limited import and storage facilities, because even though we have all those companies, they don't supply enough LPG to meet the demand in the country. And then there are regulatory overlaps, contradictions, and inefficiencies that we were informed of by the Commission, and those pertain to National Ports, the National Ports Act, Transnet is allowed to grant a 20-year concession privilege to developers with import shipping, like NERSA, the energy regulator, is also able to give infrastructure licenses that are valid for 25 years. So the one says, okay, you can do your thing for 10 years, the other one says for 25 years. So which one do you abide by? So regulated clearance needs takes place about it takes place about 3 to 4 years. The completion of the regulation clearance, that is doing environmental assessment and going through getting licenses and all those, it takes up to 4 years to complete. And so that's a delay if you want to start your own business or you want to engage in the sector. And then the sector is anti-competitive in terms of the agreements. You have very long-term supply agreements. Some people have agreements with the wholesalers for 25-year long agreements, and that wholesaler or producer will have that lease with the same wholesaler for 25 years, or some of the companies have agreements with unlimited renewal periods. That makes it uncompetitive because other people are not able to access those agreements. Then we have the cylinder market, which is also part of the sector. There in the cylinder market, there are agreements which create an entry barrier, and there's also some illegal activity that was also mentioned by the Competition Commission, finding that you're not able to obtain your to swap your cylinder with other teams, with another company. And so that is a barrier to entry. It doesn't make it easy for even consumers or even small businesses to be able to distribute or to compete in the sector. Because if one company, if you depend on that one company and they don't have the supply, you can't go to another company to go and get gas from there. So that is also a barrier. And then there are also limited disclosures, that is supply agreements that prevent end users from easily switching suppliers at the end of a contractual agreement. That's the type that they are going to do. The recommendations that were made by the Commission are that import, that there must be import efficiency and optimization for sourcing LPG at a lower cost. NAFSA must issue and monitor wholesale licenses. NAFSA and transfer processes should be aligned to the existing MOU. Agreements must be kept at 10 years and unlimited renewal clauses must be done away with. Refineries must allocate at least 10% of the LPG production to small wholesalers for at least two years. That import cylinder exchanges must be made more inclusive. NAFSA must determine the rate of the cylinder deposit fees and must review it on an annual basis so that they are aligned with the changes in the market. Maintain the current hybrid cylinder ownership model. The cross-filling of cylinders must continue but in a legal manner. Separate the LPG supply agreement from the LPG equipment agreement, or it must be stated clearly that the equipment is subject to a rental agreement. Customers must be given clear information on switching contracts. And that was just a brief summary of what the Commission had prevented, and now we come to what can Parliament do after having received all this information. So Parliament's role is to oversee the work of the department, and one of the things that can be done is that Parliament, through this committee, can call a joint meeting with the relevant committees, discuss the report, and craft a way forward. Or the Department of Energy and NAFSA could be also called in to report on future plans and their response to the Competition Commission's recommendations. And Parliament could also recommend that the relevant departments to draw up a strategy for the implementation and monitoring of the Commission's recommendations. Parliament could also, through the committee, organize joint meetings to follow up on the hold joint a public hearing to engage different players in the sector, taking into consideration that the Competition Commission is has undertaken a formal investigation into the sector because they suspect that there is collusion. ITEC will also be requested to report on the status quo from an import licensing perspective, and Parliament could request the Department of Economic Development and Energy, together with ITEC, to conduct its study to formulate recommendations on import licensing. That is the end of my presentation. Recommendation, the list of recommendations is not exhaustive, but I'm sure after discussion between other committees, there could be other recommendations that can come to me. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks so much, Nandita. For this presentation, I think it brings more clarity. We are supposed to be doing. I would request to focus more on page 4 and 5. Maybe to ask Nobisa, this is a market inquiry. What steps then is taken to a fully fledged investigation? Or maybe to lift it up to a formal inquiry or investigation so that it can follow the normal procedure of competition.
So in terms of the Competition Commission's
way of doing things. A formal investigation takes place when they suspect that there is collusion. So a market inquiry, they are doing an inquiry trying to find out what is really happening in that sector. Is there a reason to be concerned? It's a highly concentrated sector and vertically integrated, which means that the relationship between the wholesaler and the retailer. And that is cause for concern, because if you have a relationship with a supplier, it's very easy. It doesn't necessarily happen all the time, but it's very easy to have special discounts and special agreements if you have a very strong relationship. If the wholesaler and retailer relationship does not competitive. So, given that that is a typical environment for anti-competitive behavior. So if someone says there's possible anti-competitive behavior, or because of their inquiry or study into the sector, then they realize that there's a possibility of collusion. Then through their own processes, they record it. Then they, their process of conducting an investigation then takes place. So they will do investigations, all investigations, and the whole prosecution process because of collusion. But when it comes to market inquiry, they are just doing a standing. Sometimes there might be a reason for them to do that step. Sometimes they might find that there is nothing wrong that is being done by the market. However, I hope I'm answering you correctly.
I'm just trying to get whether we can, this could be elevated to that kind of a format investigation.
Yes, Chair, it is possible, and that's what they have done as a result of the inquiry. Hence, they are saying that they are investigating collusion. So
my question, follow-up question to that would be, won't we be running parallel processes then, as per your recommendation? Because they are a relevant structure to run that, and then we on the other hand would be conducting public hearings or whatever we're doing. Wouldn't that then jeopardize or bring confusion?
Thank you, Chair, for that question. Chair, we would have to call the Competition Commission and ask them, because we might not be aware of their terms of reference. Because in competition theory issues, there is a saying that if you take MRF, if you take software, if you take all of those producers or all those wholesalers and put them under one roof, they can very easily start colluding on prices, and you know, will be passing rules, and you won't even know if they are already making decisions. It doesn't always happen, but it is possible. So there is that. If we are conducting public hearings, we have to be aware that we could be creating such an environment for them. And this might clash with what the Commission is doing. Nonetheless, depending on the terms of reference of the Commission's investigation, it is possible for us to call the small players, to call other role players, to find out what are their struggles, what are the challenges in the sector. This is not necessarily, this will be a parliament process that may not necessarily be contradict their process, because they could possibly find more information from our processes here in parliament. So it is possible to have a public hearings or maybe even conduct oversight on the sector. However, we need to understand what is the competition. And secondly, because also the issue is
not only about those role players. There's also the Department of Energy. The Department of Energy has plans and there are policies that they are working on around the sector. So we also need to consult them and find out how far are their processes. Because if you go to the document that I prepared, I did mention that these findings that were made by the Commission were also made by the Department of Energy in 2011 already, so they are aware of these issues. It's just that their policy making and implementation processes are taking longer than they possibly should.
Yeah, thanks for that, because I wanted all of us to be, you know, to be at one when it comes to some of these issues. But sometimes you find that there's a lot of duplication of work, and the other question would be whether it is allowed that while another entity of the state is investigating, and then you have another arm of state also investigating the same, where we're looking to have the same outcome. I think those are that's why we needed the legal people to be here so that they can advise us. It looks like we really need to have more information, to gather more information before we even process this ourselves. We don't want a situation where we're going to find ourselves, because this is a market inquiry outcome. It's not necessarily a collusion investigation. So, but in terms of the regulatory environment, it's very clear that we have loopholes, especially from the port, the national port perspective, and from NERSA, that is Transnet and NERSA. I don't know whether the licensing issue was done in collaboration so that they give time, you know, the 5-year last time between, so that we can be able to process if, for instance, the very same concession holders want to continue with the license or reapply for the license. So those are some of the issues that we need to clarify with this authority, regulatory authority. But issues that relate to anti-competitive issues and also the issues that create barriers for small medium enterprises and also energy, I think we can perhaps together with other sister committees try to deal with that. You are that, isn't it? No question about that.
Thank you very much. Let me Chair, thank you very much. My point would be to try and establish what my colleague was trying to pin us on the fairness of some of the proposals insofar as the overall responsibility of Parliament and the committee like ourselves. I think we sit at the time where we are the only committee in Parliament, I assume, that could detect the immediate need of transformation, in particular in the sector, and the immediate need to enlarge or genuine young women township, because maybe we have a deeper understanding and an added responsibility there, and just like some of the communities will ask out of us to question some of the suggestions, because the way the industry has built itself up, it is clear that it's going to take a while for anyone to come in and make it, in particular if they are local. I see a lot of internationalization of the industry. In fact, that on its own is a big, big act of uncompetitiveness, because once they go international, they also go international according to association. So they might actually ask out of you that you do not only understand that they are international, but you must also understand that they are international government bodies and look at the way they do business. And as a social mistake, you and your people are then left behind forever. Now, to fast track the extent to which our people exist and have a foot in the door, we have to disrupt their growth. Maybe I'm using the wrong word, but economically, hashtag disruptive means you have to interfere with their agenda in order to reorganize your own people. The way it has to be done, they might not like it, but for the purposes of what you call the interest of your own people, you have to cause the consequences to them. And business with time, they adjust. Business with time, they roll over it. They see the reason why you make those laws, the reason why you reason the way you do. Half the things that we do in Africa sometimes, once organizations and corporations go international, we tend to cause extra ordinary respect to the detriment of the people, in particular local circumstances. Now, we have a history that not long ago, less than 24 years ago, this industry had the potential of spreading right around to the ground, meaning if it was regulated and monitored and proper attention was put to it, it had the potential of spreading the wealth and spreading ownership, and in fact, even increasingly the manner in which our communities will explain it as market. Now, that is the way we are left with what we have now. We were supposed many years ago maybe to include it as part of the energy mix. For instance, we drop maybe 2 hours on electricity as a provision. We did not actually see other methods or other things to stimulate non-electricity type of energy providers, in particular around cooking, in particular around family households. Because I remember when I grew up, in order for our people to reduce the bill, they used to cook in gas and then use light for other things. So, for example, they used to cook in coal and use the light for just basic things. I understand the Mala Machel, and I feel for it. I'm just making an example that I can possibly find in my memory. And the manner in which maybe we must adjust the growing percentage like in mass, sometimes you must keep harder to get exactly who is the owner of the job. We are told we are international. We want to empower our people. And maybe we must find a way in which there has to be conversion for the locals or for the rebuilding of the locals. Because if we don't do it, we will really miss an opportunity. And maybe this is the only time that we will disrupt and ask for more out of them.
Yeah. Do you have anything to say, Monica? giving you this platform so that you can clarify yourself better.
I'm not saying what you said is not clear, but perhaps if you put in your perspective to what you said, so that you, whether if you agree, say yes, I agree, this is something that you can perhaps do.
Actually, I believe that there's a lot of opportunity in this sector. And I think one of the issues, I'm just trying to find out, like this line on re-entry wages and it questions, it, one of the questions that it raises for me is how the Competition Commission, for lack of a better word, how they deal with merger. Because after Riazile and EasyJet merge, the sector became more concentrated. That means there were less players. And so the question is, could they not, if they had not allowed the merger to take place, what would have happened? Would there be support, enough support for the Antibes to grow? Because as you hear from the report, facilities are a major issue, and I can imagine that getting facilities is very capital intensive. So issues like that, how do we make sure that mergers don't make the situation in the country worse? How do we make sure that we don't perpetuate the existing conditions? For instance, I remember in Malaysia, the Competition Commission in the telecommunications sector, there were challenges of concentration there, and there were few players, and the prices were very high. So the Competition Commission had to take measures to make sure that when an international company comes to play into their field, that international company would not be, the local players would be in the majority. So they would have a larger stake than the international players. So those are some of the things that that I believe need to be questioned in terms of our measures. Otherwise, I think that if the committee decides to pursue these recommendations, that there's a lot of opportunity for the department, because the department is also a coordinator, policy coordinating department, and maybe help the Department of Energy accelerate the policy processes. So I think that it's something worth it.
Thanks, Marissa. I think the urgency that we meet with you welcome, Mr. Atkinson. We waited for you until we continue.
I get
a lunch.
Yes,
we get them, but we should set the time. Thinking that you will come at 10. By 10 o'clock, you'll be here. Unfortunately, you were not here and we had to stand. Okay. I wanted to say there's urgency, actually, for us to call the sister committees to discuss some of these issues. Maybe they have another understanding. Just to understand also what is, for instance, the Department of Public Enterprise doing to ensure that the transit actually allowed through their regulatory system allows new players. The same with the Department of Energy, through its entities, of course, or entities allow new players. But the other thing is that I'm not sure what the role of the Shell gets. What happens there?
Shell,
You asked something about that. Do you have any other information on Shell? Is it what? You asked a question last time.
Oh yes, I was.
Yeah.
I asked a question about the relationship between Shell and BP, which is public. And then I asked another question. Historically, most gas used to have a subsidiary called EasyJet. I was not too sure how it then rolled over to international level. But it could be that during the course of so many other acquisitions, we like that in general, but how we thought these could have happened. And when they are pregnant, it looks like they were never ours. So there was a point where there was a division similar like this again, which was owned by Mosgas. And Mosgas is wholly owned by the public company. So there is some acknowledgement that when the industry developed, our own government followed. But obviously, they never intended play maybe in that space and maybe allow others to just buy and they go. I wasn't too sure, but that's a question I asked the commissioner.
Okay. No, that's fine. I thought perhaps it was some, but that one you did get enough.
Yes.
We have a challenge also with Mosasco and all that. There was one power. But today they are international and in the private hands. Because then we were forced by the opposition to privatize. And it looked that it looked then like privatization was the best position then. Hence, I think there was that move. But we maybe need also to get more clarity around those issues. We got something around E-Square, right? And I think government has prevented further sales. But also it depends on private companies how they move around. Sometimes the motive might be that we want to learn best practices. We were told private sector runs things different from government, from the public sector. Hence, it was better if we put leadership of some of the entities in the hands of the private parties. But it seems like really that didn't help. That's why South Africa is waiting today. Can we then have a way forward on the recommendations that put here by Nordicum on the role of Parliament?
We want to suggest that even before we begin to speak to other countries, we should engage other important stakeholders in this regard, like for instance the legal people, so that we get their perspective on the issue. In fact, we should arm ourselves as much as it is possible so that when we finally come together with other PCs and other institutions, we are able to engage in a meaningful discussion. We can make a meaningful input in the devices themselves so that we don't simply sit down and look forward such a bigger meeting and hope for some miracles to happen. We ourselves must be properly prepared, understanding the issue from a variety of perspectives so that when we engage,
Yes, but can you come up with a suggestion? I understand the overall recommendation that before we even meet with others, we should inform.
inform myself? How to inform myself? Do you have a recommendation to that regard?
I've spoken of the legal thing.
That's the only thing. Okay.
That's what I'm putting forward.
That we call the legal people around, just understanding the operations, how we should approach the whole thing legally, whether there are no hindrances and so forth. I just want you to be clear what exactly are we looking for from the legal. I'll tell you why I wanted them to be here. So that what Mamisa was saying in terms of the approach by the competition authority and the approach we might want to take does not clash. We don't want tomorrow to find that they're not able to call people or people are not able to come because they fear that another process is taking place somewhere else. So if the legal people can clarify us on that so that we don't, while we're in the middle of something and then we're stopped because of some challenges that we come across.
You see, the other danger check is that this system was put together over a long period. And in that period, there were a variety of laws that were incorporated at different times. There are laws that govern, for instance, the retailer. There are laws that govern, for instance, the wholesaler, and other hidden ones that were not even exposed to. All these laws, individually and collectively, protect the status quo. So if you just go in there and try to make an intervention, you may find that at a later stage, you can't proceed because there is this particular law that was hidden, you know, and that creates a real barrier. This is the problem with the status quo as we have inherited it. It was well planned by people who really wanted to enrich themselves at the expense of the majority. We need to understand the system so that we can untangle it. Thank you.
Okay. Do you want us to look beyond the National Sports Act and also the one that comes, what is it, the NAFTA one? Do you want us to look beyond that? Is there any other? Maybe some people is the one to ask to address us on that one. Because in terms of what the report talks to is the linking the facts around the two. That's what I've seen. Is there anything else, Marisa?
Chair, in terms of what Mr. Kian is saying, one of the things that we could do is call academics or sector experts to just brief us on what exactly, give us more detail that will be a process that won't necessarily be a legal process. We could also ask the Department of Economic Development if they've done any research in the sector, and we could also ask ITEC to come and present on their involvement in the sector.
Okay. So it's not necessarily around the legal provision. So because I want to understand, we need to, if we give the legal people a break, it must be very clear what we want them to do.
Chair, in terms of the work of Parliament, the committee can call public hearings. It is up to the committee to decide, and yes, we can get advice from the legal people. But I think in terms of whether it is going to clash with what the commission is doing, I think the commission would be the best people to ask to advise. Because when we call the sector players, as you said earlier, they might not want to talk because there is this pending investigation. I'm sorry to interrupt, but I don't know what guidance would the legal services give in terms of this process, because in terms of parliamentary removal, we are allowed to conduct public hearings.
Yes, we are allowed, except for that rule that talks to if the law, if the case is before the subject hearing, yeah. That's the only rule that would prevent us from doing that. Otherwise, everything else is okay. But we also don't want to call a public hearing and we don't have any more parking except for, you know, the imaging and small enterprises. So we want those that are really in, but are finding it difficult to settle within, you know, because of some of the hurdles that they come across. The hurdles created by those bigger companies. In terms of where we're getting gas, I don't think that's a problem, because mostly from Africa, actually not all. So the Inter-Africa play is good. We're happy with that. At least nothing is imported so far from Europe. Except, that's where you're saying, the import. You said Angola, Equatorial Guinea, Congo, Nigeria, and Mozambique.
Yes.
So there's nothing beyond that. So the Inter-Africa play is there. We don't have a problem because we are part of the OAU, we are part of the SADC community, and in terms of East Africa trade, we are part of that, even including also the, if we look at the Africa, the 2063 vision, we are covered there. So what we want to see now is what Ndatemba called disruption of the original system. Yeah. So that's what Ndatemba is talking about when he says we need to go beyond what we have. We need to know even that which is hidden. How do we get there is another thing. Who's going to give us that which is hidden? We're not clear. But maybe if we are given a chance to go and look at that and give NAVISA that opportunity to look from the department to go and look at that, and then we'll be able to come back and get more clarity. Because really we must come to the gist of this. Unless we understand the sector, won't be able then to engage. That is then addressing a very important effect here, that before we engage with others, we must also know our story. We can't just go and engage with people when we know little about the sector. It's important that we know what are we engaging them on. The facts are here, but we need to know more. I had noted earlier on the difficulties in the report for today. Where's the mic?
Thank you very much. Madam Chair, I wonder if we can have the culture. To say that the main thing that I'm talking about, that is better with things and stuff off. We need to be able to understand. It would be the story of Kanba, that they are all kids. Our wife, the government has been now, the village now is cooperative. Now, my view was that we need to engage them with our stakeholders. So, we're able to get their kids where they are now, without opening to them what they want to achieve. So that the strategy that we develop is informed. We understand where they come from, where they are now.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Nancy, for the presentation. It has highlighted so many things. On that ending, on what that is going has completely partially covered me, because I also say we need to be empowered as a community. My own only intent to have that of what is the status of in terms of the academics, because it's where our new goals are. What is the current status? How far is the agreement? Because those 25 years agreements are the ones that are supporting us. Now, I wanted us to be clarified by ICANN. What is the status of those important licenses?
Thanks. Director Ambassador?
We know now what the Competition Commission is interested of doing or could possibly do, but we need to know the dynamics in the industry itself and the concerns itself.
Thank you.
Bob Lavica,
you're welcome. We heard that you were busy. I know that you've introduced the motion. I hope you finish now. Colleagues, I think what we should be doing then is to get the department to clarify as the starting point that we can approach it and then to be followed maybe by the Department of Energy and NAFTA for the energy. So in that letter of invitation also impressed upon the transmit also whether there's a need to call the Minister of Public Enterprise. But also it will be important to call our legal people, just for them to lay down, you know, clarify us on how far can we go in terms of the work of Parliament. They come in handy, especially when we deal with legislation, because they are able to tell us what we can and what we can't do. But what I know they cannot do is to really look beyond what the report says we can get. they'll tell you that it's a research work. And because there are few, it also brings another challenge. So I think what we need to do then, through NWAPISA, to request NWAPISA to just investigate some of these issues, because, you know, as you read and go through, you know, the details of some of these things, you might maybe come across one or two. And perhaps even reading the discussions around the gas politics, you might be able to come through some of these things. So it's important that you also assist us. And then we start there and see where it takes us. But the first thing first, I don't know, we don't have much time. We don't seem to be having much time, because next week will be our last. Actually, next week we will not be meeting, because we will be at the UP. So we won't be able to meet. So we might meet them on the 3rd and the 5th and the 8th, yeah. So during those two meetings, actually constantly, so we can use the whole week, the 2 weeks, to engage. Yeah, that's all. I don't know if you... If there's anyone with the control of that? Anyone against that? Anyone wants to enrich that? Okay. If we agree, then we'll approach it that way and call the relevant people. That is my answer. If you have to focus on those members, okay, you're fine with us, with our committee. If we agree that that would be the end of our discussion on the presentation by NWAPISA, let's thank you very much for the presentation and making it easier for us to understand and to engage. Members, as I indicated, this is another subject matter. And it's only for the members. As I indicated before, we have applied for study tour to Malaysia, and we're still awaiting approval. But I'll recommend that the members perhaps make their prepare their official passport for in case that they are able then to do. For those who will be leaving, we don't know as yet who will be going and who will remain. But in case we all leave, at least we are all ready. As the management, we've agreed that we take the next week for we continue with the third phase of our UP course. And those who will be attending, I think Peter Paul will be communicating with all of us on that. I think in terms of travel arrangements and so in that course, remember, will be including also a brief on Malaysia, so that we understand what we're going to be dealing with. There will be a panel of discussion around progress in that area. So it's important that we attend and are able to ask questions, as much questions as possible, in preparation for the, if agreed to by the speaker, for the trip to Malaysia. We deliberately put that so that we can inform ourselves better before we engage with them. Otherwise, I think those are the two announcements we made here.
So, what day do you keep for the day?
You'll remember that 22nd, yeah, we expected to be here. So that's why we are using Monday. We know that Monday is a normal party day. So, but we utilize that day. We've since received approval for that. So we will be going for those days. Dr. Khan?
Chair, when will you be likely to know about
we know we will inform you, definitely. But if it is approved, it's around August, yeah, to 20th. So we know. Okay, colleagues, that's it. Thank you for your attendance and your participation. Thank you. The meeting is adjourned.
I don't know my life.
Thank you.